Rebecca fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Alrighty, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sunday. That means it is time for the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic edition. That's right, we're coming to you live right now on 1520 WBZW and also on AM660TheAnswer.com, of course. And, well, if you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your device, your smart device, as they're called, then you could be listening to us there. In the meantime, the Rays post-game show is going on for a little while. The Rays lost a little while ago, a close one this afternoon to the Orioles. And that post-game show is probably going to last about, I don't know, about maybe another 20 minutes or so. Anyway, when it does, we'll let you know when we go back up on the big stick, as they call it around here. That, of course, being FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, just in case you want to listen to us there. All right, we're here. We're live. I am Christopher Hart, along with me in the studio this Sunday eve, sporting, once again, a pretty sharp-looking American Adversaries Radio Network T-shirt. That, of course, be Aubrey Kahn.
Someone's got to keep him in line.
Is that what it is? we also got Jeff Sinis on the bridge tonight.
Joe Dimes, how you doing?
There you go. And no matter where you're listening to us, the phone number is the same, and that, of course, would be 407-774-8255. Before we get too far away from the Rays, the bad news is, of course, that, well, for us anyway, not necessarily, well, yeah, for the Rays too, because they lost today, but is that the post-game show is going on right now, and that's going to happen to us, let's see, at least one more time this season. On the last game of the season for the Rays, which is October the 2nd, they're going to be playing in Texas, and that game will be starting later on in the afternoon our time. So for that day, this is where you're going to be able to find us for the most part, if not for the whole show. Next week, they're playing Boston. It's an early start, so it may be a similar situation like today. You just never know. Now, as far as the weekdays go, the Rays are off tomorrow night, so that will not affect our show. They won't affect our show. By the way, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock after our Drive Time primetime show, the Decision 2016 American in the Balance roundtable discussion is going to be played on the air. So if you weren't there, you'll be able to hear it. If you were there, you'll be able to hear it again if you choose to do so. So that'll be 7 o'clock Sunday evening. As I said, the Rays are off tomorrow night, so no problem there. All right, but then Tuesday
7 o'clock what evening?
I'm sorry, tomorrow night. Monday.
That's Monday.
Yeah.
You said Sunday evening.
No, I meant Monday. All right. If I did, I'm sorry, I meant Monday. Tomorrow night, the Rays are off, and the Decision 2016 roundtable discussion will be played after our show at 7 o'clock. And then from Tuesday through Friday next week, however, we're going to lose that tail end of our show at 6:30. And then that will be it for this season for our Drive Time primetime show, because the last week of the Rays season is on the road in Chicago playing the White Sox and in Texas. So they'll be in the central time zone, so they won't be affecting our show. All right? So that's the lay down on that sort of thing. And we'll remind you of that a little bit later on in the show. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. Amapola Hansberger, I think maybe Wes Rose may be coming in with her tonight. But anyway, the folks from Legal Immigrants for America are going to be joining us a little bit later on in the show. We've got some news that broke during this past week in regards to Legal Immigrants for America and an observation made by our above reproach and would never do anything to bring, you know, suspicion or doubt on the Justice Department. Attorney General Loretta Lynch has issued a proclamation in terms of illegal aliens and, if you will, their place in our society. And Kathy Santomassino's got some odd Sunday's odd stories. She also has some, you know, we've often heard about the contacts, if you will, or the nepotism that exists in Washington, D.C. She's going to bring us a little lowdown on that, going to open a lot of eyes out there, I'm sure. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the terrorist bomb attacks yesterday, and I did say that plural because there were two. There was the one in New Jersey and then the one last night in New York. So we'll be talking about all of that on the show tonight. But before we do that, I want to sort of, if you will, set a bit of a theme for tonight's show because you know, these poll numbers have been turning around big time over the last couple of weeks here. And we're going to be talking about it during the course of the show a little bit more so. Aubrey's got some new poll numbers. The Wall Street Journal did an excellent article the other day about millennials and how they are deserting Hillary. And that was confirmed in some CBS polls that came out today. Another poll at actually CBS, I believe, in Quinnipiac and other polls. Are confirming this. When the Republican convention was going on and Ivanka Trump introduced her father, she said something that really kind of, you know, stuck with me. And it was when she was describing how her father raised her, and she said that he taught her that as long as you're thinking, think big. Okay? I mean, that sounds simple, you know, and it just kind of, it didn't seem to catch a lot of attention, but to me, that's the one thing that stood out about her whole speech and what she said about him. And then she went on to elaborate that when people worked for her father, Donald Trump, he oftentimes was able to get them to achieve things that they never dreamt that they would be able to achieve in their own lives. You follow what I'm saying here? You with me?
We're with you.
All right. That he gets people to think that they can do things that they otherwise never thought, dreamed of. So along that line, I want us to think big tonight, because as long as we're going to be thinking, why not think big? Right? And as long as we're going to be running for presidency, and as long as we're going to be, if we're successful, winning, why shouldn't we think we can win big? All right? You know, this election has been said, oh, it's going to go down to the wire. It's going to be neck and neck. Trump's got a ceiling. Hillary can get over 50%. We've heard all the various, iterations of how this election is Hillary's, and it's a long shot for Donald Trump, and the Electoral College is much more difficult, and we've heard all of it, right? But my opinion is this election could turn out to be a very big win for the Republicans, and in particular Donald Trump. And Hillary Clinton is a disaster as a candidate, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit more as the show goes along as well. And the Democrats are in now high panic mode. They are as Maureen Dowd described them this morning. Of course, Maureen Dowd, the highly acclaimed and esteemed amongst them, columnist for the New York Times, Maureen Dowd, led on that the Democratic echelon and elite are taking antacids right now. In other words, they're having a lot of heartburn with this here campaign, because it's beginning to dawn on them that not only could Hillary Clinton lose, but they could lose any chance of regaining the Senate and any chance of picking up seats in the House. And this is very disturbing to them. It's causing them, as she implied, a lot of heartburn and indigestion. And the thinking amongst, as I said, the ruling elite is that there's, you know, this was Hillary Clinton's. It was just a couple of weeks ago that you could turn on the liberals and they were all going, yeah, you Republicans out there, if you want to hold on to the Senate and the House, well, you better distance yourself from Donald Trump. You better get away from him as fast as you can. And of course, maybe they kind of saw the handwriting on the wall and were trying to prevent it from happening. But this is what they call a wave election. This election so far has broken all the rules, and I believe will continue to do so right on through to the end. This wave is capable of bringing about dramatic change. And by that, I mean a huge victory for Donald Trump. But what I mean by that is over 300 electoral college votes. That would be considered unheard of. That would be considered impossible to happen. And I think it is not only possible to happen, I think that if we drive at it with the opinion that if we're going to, as long as we're going to win, why not win big? If we're going to be thinking, why not think big? If we're going to win, why not win big? That we should attack this thing with the focus that not only can we win this thing, but we can win it big. And, it's sort of the power of positive thinking. I see you sitting there with a concerned look on your face. Is there a drawback you see to my optimistic outlook here?
No, but I was just reading about our president addressing his last congressional black caucus.
Last night. Yeah.
And, you know, he's saying, if you don't vote for Hillary, it's like a slap in the face to me.
Let me tell you something.
Bring him here. I'll slap him for you.
Don't go getting us into trouble.
Too late, she cried.
Yeah, really. No, let me tell you something. Yeah, she's got surrogates. I mean, they're bringing in the clowns, right? They're bringing them all out. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, of course, Bill and Chelsea. The problem is they're not the ones on the ballot.
No, just like her. They lie, cheat, and steal.
Well, in essence, but the bottom line is that she is the one who is on the ballot. And they can't keep her enough out of the limelight for people to see that this woman she's not right. There's something not right. And that she is not capable of this job. And we're going to talk more about it when we come back.
Yep.
All right. Welcome to the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classics tour. As we come to you, I see now on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And, of course, tonight, 1520 WBZW, which is where we've been broadcasting while the Rays post-game show had been going on. Of course, we're always on the internet at am660theanswer.com. And you can always listen to us on your smart device if you download the free WORL-FM-AM app into that smart device. All right, I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me this evening is Aubrey Kahn, Affirm Foundation Home Inspections.
Yes, in every way.
In every way. And he's also the host of the Talk to the Experts radio show. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge.
How you doing?
And we got the same phone number we always have, 407-774-8255, if you'd like to be a part of the show tonight. And let me just back up a little bit here and kind of go over a little bit what we went through the first segment of the show. And that is that I've been talking about, when Ivanka Trump introduced her father, Donald, of course, at the Republican convention. She told us a little bit about how he raised her. And she said that he taught her really stuck, and it stuck with me when she said it. And that is that he taught her that as long as you're thinking, think big. And so many people don't do that. I know I'm for instance, guilty of not always doing that. And it's a habit. It's something you got to, you know, you got to get in the habit of doing this. And she went on to further elaborate that she'd seen numerous times, not only in her own life, but in other people's lives that had worked for her father, that he oftentimes was able to get them to do things in their lives that they had never dreamt of on their own. In other words, he got them to not only think big, but be big. So with that in mind, my theme for tonight's show is, as long as we're planning on winning this election, and we are, that doesn't mean we will, but that's what we're planning on doing, right? Or we wouldn't even be talking about it if we weren't planning on winning this thing or giving it our darndest. As long as we're planning on winning, why not win big? Why not plan on winning big? Why not our goal not be just to win, but to win this thing big? And I do think that it is a distinct possibility. There are a number of new polls out that are very troubling for the Democrats. And as I revealed earlier in the show, Maureen Dowd revealed this morning that the Democrat upper, you know, intelligentsia, elite types are drinking antacid. They are having heartburn and indigestion over this election because this is supposed to be a runaway. This is not only supposed to be, it's not only supposed to be close because it's Hillary Clinton and it's her turn. It's not even supposed to be close because it's Hillary Clinton running against Donald Trump. I mean, you know, this is, they are all, you know, several weeks ago, oh, yeah, Donald Trump, see, he's the clown, you know, the gold star family, you know, with the cons, the con jobs, the con artists, the con man and his wife. Oh, the gold star families, that was going to ruin him. The judge, that was going to ruin him. See, he's nothing but a buffoon and ba-da-da-da-da. Hillary Clinton's going to run away with this. It's not, you know, there wasn't 2 weeks ago, there was an article in the Politico talking about how the Clinton people were being told how to plan for a landslide victory.
Well, they're entitled to plan for whatever they like.
Yeah, but them plans are going to be dashed.
Well,
and so
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Of course, anything's still possible in any election cycle until it's over. But the point here is, look, you don't go into this not thinking that you're going to lose. You go into this thinking there's some way to win. Okay, if there's some way to win, then there's some way to win big in this thing. And I think we can do just that. And I think that things are already in motion. Trump is very slyly turned the tables on not only the Democrats, but also on the media, because he so very effectively does exactly what they do to Republicans. And so they are up against a different dog in this fight. And we got some brand new polls out. CBS has a national poll. Do you have that in front of you? I believe that their national poll shows a dead heat
42-42. Yes, and that's based on 4,202 interviews conducted on the Internet on registered voters in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Michigan, New Hampshire, Nevada, Ohio, Virginia, and Wisconsin. The margin of error, 1.9%. However, the L.A. Times USC tracking poll shows something totally different.
And it is?
Clinton, 41%.
And?
Trump, 48%.
How about that? Up 7 points now. And it has been steadily rising. And this poll, as I said, we've said early on, keep your eye on this L.A. Times poll because, once again, they are conducting this poll differently from the other polls, and I believe that's why it's constantly led the way. And as it's led the way, all these other polls have followed it. Now, do I think that CBS is going to next week show 48-41? No, but it could very well show 44-40 Trump, right? Because these other polls are following the L.A. Times poll. The bottom line is the momentum has definitely shifted into Trump's favor, and I believe it's going to continue to do so. And by the way, that L.A. Times poll, that's a daily tracking poll with that L.A. Times poll. So that is up to date for what has happened even yesterday in New York and what happened yesterday in New Jersey and New York, I believe. Once again, this is history. I hate to put it this way, but being on the side of Donald Trump, all of these security issues, and then you look at the response, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But the Trump is yeah, let's go ahead and go to the response because we got a hard break coming up here, and I want to get this in before we get to that. The response that we got last night from the two candidates to the bombing in New York. You had Trump, who was giving, he responded at a rally, and he also made a statement either before or after the rally, and the rally was in, Lord, I can't remember where it was. I mean, it's hard to keep up with him anymore. But anyway, his statement was, look, this was a bomb that went off, and he characterized this as a terrorist act, and he said, look, this is I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to deal with this. And then you got Hillary Clinton's response. And her response came on the flight from Washington, D.C. on her campaign plane back to New York, pardon me, last night after the Black Caucus dinner where she spoke before Barack Obama.
Right, but she also looked like she'd been drugged.
On the plane.
Yes.
She did, yes. When she spoke, now, she looked pretty good. She came out as far as Hillary Clinton goes, okay? She had her hair that was done up, makeup on the face. She comes out, and she's got one of those Mao jackets or Nehru jackets. And this one was a shiny one. It was like a silk shiny one, right? Mm-hmm. You can imagine what it cost. But then later on when she didn't respond during her speech later to the terrorist attacks. Later on the plane, she was asked to make some comments. And it looked like they had just woken her up out of bed. And a lot of people are saying, what was she on? What kind of sedation was she on? That's not my question. That was questions being asked on the talking head shows this morning. Yeah, by Republicans, but nonetheless, they're putting it out there because her response was very putrid.
Yes. She said, I have been briefed about the bombings in New York and New Jersey. I have been... That's what she told reporters. Do you have any reaction to Donald Trump immediately referring to the explosion as a bomb? A reporter asked her. She said, well, I think it's important to know the facts before responding to an incident like this. I think it's always wiser to wait until you have the information for making conclusions because we are just in the beginning stages of trying to determine what happened. All right. Yeah. She accused Donald Trump of using the word bombs right after she had mentioned the word bombs. She also went on to say that she had been briefed, forgetting, of course, that the opposition was also briefed.
Right. The bottom line is she came out with a bunch of double talk, and it was just this very low-key, unimpassioned statement. Trump was out there, by contrast, going, you elect me, I'll take care of it.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
You ever see that movie?
No.
We're
talking about Play Misty for Me.
You never saw that movie?
No, there's a lot of movies I haven't seen.
All right, then you need to see the movie. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries, and we are here for our Sunday evening three-hour classic tour. That is Aubrey Khan. I am Christopher Hart.
And you don't want to know what we talk about during the break.
407-774-8255 is the number. Okay. Our theme for tonight's show is, as long as we're aiming to win, why not aim to win big in this year's election? And I think it can be done. There are a couple of groups who are deserting Hillary Clinton, one more so than the other. But the fact that either one would, much less both of them, is devastating to her campaign. One are the millennials. All right, I'm going to tell you about the millennials, and then Aubrey's going to tell you about the other group, right? You got the other group, right?
I have the other group, yes.
Okay, all right. The millennials, as was revealed in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, their weekend edition, the millennials are deserting Hillary Clinton. And many of them are just giving up and not planning to vote at all. A number of them are going to Gary Johnson. A few of them are going to Donald Trump. But the point is, more so than anything, they are deserting Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a group that helped Barack Obama get elected twice, in particular the second time, because the voters ages 19 through 34, he carried that group by six. It was over 30 points, like 35 points. In other words, he was like 63%, right, in that group. And that's a big obstacle to overcome, especially then you tag on the blacks who vote 95% for him, and the fact that that Romney didn't win amongst the white women as big as he needed to counter those things. So this is a big development that these voters. And like you said a while ago, what was it Obama said at the
Congressional Black Caucus
last night, that if you don't vote for Hillary, it's what?
Then you're insulting him because.
Right. So you see, what they're trying to do is now make
they're shoring up.
What, exactly. That millennial vote, they're trying to make it about Barack Obama, you see, because if it's about Hillary Clinton, the millennials aren't going to support her.
Right.
This is the reality.
They've got to support her so that she can continue with the work he began.
Right. That's the end result. But the you understand the psychology here is they can't have the election be about Hillary Clinton, at least when it comes to the millennials and the group you're getting ready to talk about.
Right.
Because when it is, too many of them desert her. And the millennials have deserted her big time. She, just 2 weeks ago, was leading Donald Trump amongst millennials by somewhere between, depending on which poll you looked at, between 25 and 30%. In other words, she was that far ahead of him. You follow what I'm saying? It is now down to a virtual tie amongst the millennials. He's getting about 25%. She's now getting about 25%. And the rest of them have gone away. And most of them have just gone away. They're not going to vote. Or as I said, a few are going to vote for Gary Johnson. But the point is, this is a huge constituency that if does not come out and vote for Hillary Clinton, this puts a lot of states up for grabs. Or in Trump's column that had been up for grabs. Colorado included, where he is now ahead in the polls. Florida included, where he is now ahead in the Quinnipiac polls, and I'm sure many of the other ones are going to show either dead heat or him ahead. And so this group is a big one, and they have left her in big numbers, and it has got them really freaking out. And this is why you'll see more of Michelle Obama, because she really appeals to the millennials, and you'll see more of Barack, and you'll hear more of that same thing. If you want more of Barack, you've got to elect Hillary, because the election can't be about Hillary amongst even the Democrats, because she is such a lousy candidate. Now, the other group... I didn't necessarily see this thing with the millennials coming, but I did see this other group coming, and it started when Trump went up to Milwaukee and made that speech and appealed directly to black Americans.
Black Americans, right. And black voters are actually turning in huge numbers. Donald Trump saw a 16.5% point increase and backing from African-American voters in Los Angeles. The LA Times and University of USC tracking poll up from 3.1% on September 10th to 19.6% through Friday.
19%.
That has gone up by 9.6%. Meanwhile, the same poll showed Clinton's support among the group plummeting from 90.4% on September 10th, down to 71.4.
Do you folks understand how big this is? If these numbers hold true, and once again, This is a poll that all the other polls have been following the trend that this poll has been showing. If these numbers pan out even anywhere close to this, this is a huge change in the voting habits of this group as well. This election is not only winnable, but we could definitely win big. And these two groups can make it happen. One, maybe by them staying away. The other, by them turning toward Donald Trump. And believe me, Trump's message does appeal to them. They're human beings just like the rest of us. And they look around, especially if they live in a city like Chicago or Philadelphia or Baltimore. I don't care where they live in the city. They can live in the worst part of the city, or they could live in the best part of the city. They all read the same local paper. They all watch the same local news. They all hear and see the same tragic killings day in and day out. And they understand that the Democrats aren't doing a doggone thing to solve the problem. So, and all the ideas that they have are just the same old ideas that these folks have heard over and over and over again. And Donald Trump brings a different sort of attitude there. And he also has been appealing to strong figures in the black community as well, strong pastors around the country and law enforcement officers around the country. It is no small thing that Sheriff David Clark is supporting Donald Trump. Because believe you me, there's a lot of black people around this country that look up to Sheriff David Clark. Now, they may not go into work tomorrow and brag about it, right? But believe me, they do. Because he is a man that is easy to look up to. So this is a wave election, and the wave is going to catch up a lot of people in it that no one ever thought could happen, and it is happening, and it's a joy to behold. What do you got there?
Oh, she's also losing Hispanic voters.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
You got some figures on that?
No, no numbers. I'm just starting to read the article.
Well, I don't doubt it. Because, once again, a lot of these are families who have been affected by crime, who are affected by gang activity, who are living their lives in some form of fear, either fear of the crime in their neighborhood or fear that they're not going to be able to keep putting food on the table, or both, or all the above. And Donald Trump, like him or not, brings a message of, and I know I've said this on the show before, sort of, well, not tongue-in-cheek, but he brings a message of hope and positive change. Hope and change. Hope for the future, because he brings a fresh way of looking at things, and positive change. Positive change. Because he describes an America where we know we can solve the problem. See, here's the thing, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people in the left and a lot of people even on the right don't get. Donald Trump doesn't have to have highly detailed plans, because when he says we're going to make America great again, he understands that we understand that we can solve these problems. These problems are solvable with the right solution, that will only come from the right people and the right determination. So we can do this. It only takes the right leadership. All right, once again, as long as we're planning on winning, as long as we're seeking to win, why not seek to win big? It can be done. It's happening right before our very eyes. Let's enjoy every minute of it, but do everything we can to make sure that it happens as big as it possibly can. We'll be right back with more of the show.
Ho! Hey, folks. This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
All right, here we go. Thanks for being with us tonight. Don't forget, we're here live until 8 o'clock, and then you got Mark Walters, who will be live until 11 o'clock tonight, and I'm sure he's going to be talking about Donald Trump off prompter the other night. He went off prompter, and he said, if Hillary's bodyguards were stripped of their guns, then we'd see. Then see what would happen. It wouldn't be good.
Right, because Hillary wants to...
Yeah. She's just like Rosie O'Donnell or whoever it was, you know, who got all over Tom Selleck and others for, you know, having guns, and then turns out that she's got a bodyguard
who carries a gun.
Yeah. So the whole point was, and it was he did it in his way. It was stated, if you will, more clearly this morning by Reince Priebus, the head of the Republican Party, and that is that the point was that, you know, it's different standards for the elites than for the rest of us, right? They get all the protection. We are the ones who have to go out on the street.
And get mowed down.
And get shot. Yeah, exactly. In the crossfire, as it were. So I'm sure Mark Walters is going to be talking about that. And also he might be talking about, Aubrey was telling me there are 11 states out there now that are going to, they're trying to pass laws similar to what California has already passed. They did it a year or two ago, signed into law by old goofball Brown. And that allows, under certain circumstances, the police to come into your home and confiscate your weapons and then prevent you from buying weapons or ammunition. And it has to do with if a family member or some police or authority type like that determines or makes a complaint that you are threatening yourself or someone else, that they can get a court order to do that. Now, how easy is it to say, if you're having a feud with somebody, to say, hey, look, that doggone Aubrey Kahn, he makes me so mad, I'm going to show him. Yeah. This 911, yeah, this guy, Aubrey Kahn, he keeps threatening me with a gun. What can I do about that? You see how easy it is to manipulate or abuse these type laws? 11 states are considering these?
Right. Now, you've got to remember, there's already two states which have that.
Which, California's one. What's the other state? Yep.
Now you got me, right? I've got to look for it again.
All right. There's 11 states that are considering doing this. Once again, these are the sorts of things that Mark Walters will be talking about on his show tonight. And you need a highlighter is what you need. All right, we'll come up with those states.
But, I need a life.
speaking of that sort of thing, law enforcement, once again, this week has been under attack. You had the car attack where the guy ran over the police officers. You had the attack the other night, and I believe it was, I'll have to find the city too, where the guy killed a police officer, and then himself was later shot, so it's an ongoing battle with the police and what they have to deal with out there, and that's why we support the Wounded Officers Initiative around here. And they have a ride coming up on Saturday, October the 1st. And it's a police-escorted motorcycle ride in support of American law enforcement. It's called the I Care for Law Enforcement Ride 2016. It's the ride is going to begin about 9 a.m. And it'll start and end back at the Seminole County Harley-Davidson dealership up there. There'll be concert and food and all kinds of cool stuff going on when the ride concludes. And if you'd like to register for the ride, you can do that ahead of time by going to woundedofficersinitiative.org, or you can do it the day of the ride. And if you pre-register, it's $30 per motorcycle and $10 for that extra rider, and $35 and $15 the same day. And all the proceeds, once again, go to Benefit Wounded Officers Initiative. That's the I Care for Law Enforcement Ride 2016, Saturday, October the 1st. Please participate in that ride. We've been talking about, as long as we're going to win this thing, why not win big? You know, Bernie Sanders is, they've even brought Bernie Sanders out to, we'll find that during the break. Don't worry about it, Aubrey.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders, I want you to go back to that bridge thing. That's more interesting right now. The bridge thing, people lining up for the bridges.
Oh, that.
Bernie Sanders was in Ohio the other day to have a rally for Hillary Clinton. And remember all those huge crowds Bernie Sanders was getting during the primary? Everywhere he'd go, he'd get 5, 7, 10, 12,000 people come out.
Right.
Be all raucous, everybody having a grand old time. Guess how many people showed up at Bernie Sanders' rally for Hillary Clinton in Ohio, one of those key battleground states, the other night?
I'm guessing high. 10.
Well, it was 15 times 10. In other words,
150.
150 people showed up. Another sign that the enthusiasm, all the air has gone out of the balloon for the Democrats, as we were talking about, amongst the millennials, amongst the blacks, and amongst the Hispanics. And there are other signs out there that things aren't good.
Yes, yes. There was... You know how people make comments on places like Facebook and so on? Here's a great one. The only Hillary voters should start selecting the bridge they'll be jumping off from on election day right now if they don't want to have to wait in line.
Can you imagine how much fun it's going to be if Donald Trump wins this election? The likes of Whoopi Goldberg and the others who have promised
to
leave.
But they're all leaving.
Well, that's what I mean. It would be, wouldn't it be nice that they did leave or have to explain why they're not going,
but
right?
But you see, they're all racist. They're all going to Canada. None are going to Mexico.
Right. Of course, they're not going to go down there. You would think some of them might. But the point being, just think how much fun it would be with Donald Trump winning this thing. And with this, as I said, this can be done. And not only can it be done, but it can be done in a big, huge way. And boy, wouldn't that be something to see? Wouldn't that something to behold? And then, of course, you would have all the Republicans out there just as much in awe as the Democrats, because they didn't see it coming neither. All right, but if you listen to this show, well, you won't be so caught off guard, will you? Right?
Maybe Ted Cruz is going to go back to Cuba.
There you go. There you go. No, he'll go back to Canada. His father will go back to Cuba. That's right.
No, we've got to keep the family together, remember?
Well, but he was born in Canada, see? So, all right, anyway. Now that the thing with Obama's birth certificate's all straightened out, maybe we can get Trump on this cruise thing, right? Anyway, the pressure now, I do believe, is going to build, by the way, speaking of Ted Cruz, on people like Senator Cruz to finally get on board this thing. And they risk being left behind if they don't. And over these next few weeks, I think it may become even more and more evident. And if Trump goes in there and does what he has done in the debate with Hillary Clinton, the first one and the other ones, this could really turn big. And and all he has to do is go in there and do what he does. And the rumors are the Clinton campaign is working with the debate team, the organizers, to make sure that the moderators know how to behave, shall we say, when it comes to the debate. That's okay. Look, this is not – Donald Trump is not going to win because the moderators are going to be fair with him. He's going to win because the moderators are not going to be fair with him. That's the way they do it. That's what he knows, and that's what has been working for him up to this point, and I think it's going to continue to work for him. And as I said,
This could very well turn into a landslide victory, electoral college wise, for Donald Trump. So, as I said, as long as we're thinking and planning on winning big or winning, why not think and plan on winning big? And indeed, it can be done. All right. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun watching the media squirm in the process. And they are, do believe me, squirming. That's why you're seeing them spend so much time on this birther thing. This is not going to hurt Trump. You know, all you Ahabs out there who think that this birther thing, you know, is going to hurt Trump and you're going to keep it out there, and it's not going to hurt Trump. Sorry, because he's running against Hillary Clinton. If he were running against Barack Obama, it might hurt him. But, you know, this is old news to so many people, and it's more important that we get this election right to these people, that they aren't going to care about all your little foot stomping and huffing and puffing about the birther thing. All right? So you just continue to do that, and you'll see these numbers to continue to go in the big dog's favor. This guy is Moby Dick. And he's riding this wave, and you guys have yet to figure out how to stop him. And you're not going to do it this way. I don't think you're going to do it at all. All right. Well, when we come back, the folks from Legal Immigrants for America are going to be with us. And a number of things have developed over the week. The Obama administration, for instance, revealing that they want to dramatically increase the number of refugees coming to this country. Loretta Lynch had some interesting things to say about illegal immigration, so you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. And then, as I said, don't forget Mark Walters with Armed American Radio is coming up live at 8 o'clock here, and they'll take you live until 11 o'clock tonight. And then also, I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I don't think we were up. I think the Rays postgame show was still going on. Tomorrow night, if you are not able to attend the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour as it came through Orlando last Monday, or if you were there and want to hear it again, you can do so tomorrow night at 7 o'clock after our American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time show right here on these same stations, with the exception of 1520 WBZW, but on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. The Decision 2016 roundtable discussion, which included, it was moderated by Hugh Hewitt and included Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, John Voight, Sheriff David Clark, and myself. And that will be aired tomorrow night at 7 o'clock after the primetime drive time show. So if you want to hear it, if you haven't heard it yet and want to hear it again, you'll be able to do so tomorrow. And I hope you enjoy it. That'll be after our show tomorrow. And then don't forget Wednesday. We got a big guest coming who's going to be in the studio with us. She's written a book, in the brand new book. It's called Hillary, the Other Woman. Her name is Dolly Kyle. And she's one of Bill Clinton's former intimate partners. Known him longer than I believe Hillary has known him. And she's going to actually be in the studio with us Wednesday to talk about her brand new book. Sorry, Jeff, can you come down on, I don't know if it's, but I'm getting blasted in the ears. Thank you there. She's going to be in the studio with us Wednesday, and you'll be able to call and ask her questions and get a copy of her book, and then you'll really be able to ask her some good questions. That'll be Wednesday right here on our show.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries. Now in the second hour of our 3-hour Sunday Evening Classic Tour. All right, because it is Sunday night. It is the second hour of the show. That means the Legal Immigrants for America gang is in here with us tonight. And we have Amapola Hansberger, the founder and president of Legal Immigrants for America. Good to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
The Deplorables.
The Deplorables, that's right.
The Deplorables are here.
Yeah, we've got a whole basket case. I mean, basket full.
Yes, there you go. Right. Speak for yourself. I still think that'd be a great name for a rock and roll group, right? The Deplorables. I'm surprised nobody came up with that yet. Maybe some garage band did. Anyway, we also have Brunhilde. Bruni is with us tonight. Bruni, good to see you.
Greetings, everyone.
And, of course, Aubrey Kahn is still here. And I'm Christopher Hart. And 407-774-8255 is the number. And Aubrey and I are also members of Legal Immigrants for America. And you can be one, too. All you have to do is go to golifa.com. That's G-O-L-I-F-A, golifa.com. And you can sign up there, and you'll get alerts, and there's always great information that you can find there. They have voters' guides there and other things that we'll be telling you about a little bit more as we go through the show here today. But, you know, there's several things have developed over the week, and one of them, let's start with the Loretta Lynch thing. Because I think this kind of goes right to the heart of where Democrats are at.
Are you trying to depress the people from LIFA?
No. Go ahead.
Loretta Lynch. Illegal aliens have the right to work as much as American citizens do.
I've heard her say that before.
Yeah.
Bless her darling heart and stupid head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what are the details on this? Where did she say this?
Loretta Lynch said on Wednesday during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing that she thinks illegal aliens have the same right to work in America as American citizens do. Senator, she said, I believe the right and the obligation to work is one that is shared by everyone in this country, regardless of how they came here. That's what she told Senator Jeff Sessions, who has a greater right to work, illegal aliens or lawful immigrants and American citizens. Certainly, if someone is here, regardless of status, I would prefer that they be participating in the workplace than not participating in the workplace, she said. She also said she doesn't believe that Obama's executive action on immigration is amnesty.
See, this goes right to the heart of the problem, though, doesn't it? That the Democrats think that, and of course there's been a number of Republicans probably thought this too, that, yeah, the illegals come over here, let them work, because they're going to take the jobs Americans won't take.
I don't believe so. I believe it has to do with globalism. One world government, no borders. It's a utopia. It will never work. But they are for one world government.
That's so what you see something a little bit more insidious going on here.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Global socialism.
Not just cheap labor.
No.
Yes. Yeah, and how can you say that with 95 million people not in the workforce, you know, the highest number in decades
right. That
are in working age?
Yeah, well, see, that's the more direct problem, but they're talking about something bigger than that. They're talking about this... Yeah, let's do away with the borders and just let people come and go. And, mm-hmm. and there will be no such thing as illegal immigration or illegal aliens.
Right. There will be a small ruling class, and the rest of us will be slaves to government.
Well, that would be exactly. In their wildest dream, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to the more immediate problem, the more immediate problem is the political problem that the Democrats, I believe, now have, and that is that... This idea that illegals should be allowed to come here, this is a form of amnesty is what she's talking about. Because why have employers, for instance, verify if somebody's here illegally or not if it doesn't matter?
Well, they're going to put a stop to that because they also want to put a stop to drug testing and background checks.
Yeah.
The only one that wants to stop that is Donald Trump.
All right, so that's what brings me to this, because that's where I wanted to go with this, I should say. Because her going up there and saying this if for this election cycle is playing right into Donald Trump's hands, because there are so many people in these Rust Belt states, and every state that he goes into, somebody on his staff has given him numbers where he goes in and he goes, oh, I'm in Detroit. You know, it's bad in Detroit. It's awful in Detroit. You know, you used to have, you used to manufacture 30% of the world's cars here in Detroit. Now it's down to 2%. And you know where all that production has gone? It's all gone down to Mexico. And they send their workers here and they're taking our jobs. The whole bottom line that I'm trying to make here is that this sort of thing reinforces the notion that the elites in this country don't care about Americans.
Of course they don't.
Right? And don't. That's what Legal Immigrants for America, that's part of what you're all about, right? Not only do you care about America, but you care about Americans.
Correct. We like the Constitutional Republic, and we are against the one world government. I believe that we should all respect the rule of law, and we should all be vetted before we come. We did it. It's not that difficult. So, no, that's what we're for. We're for the rule of law.
See, one of the problems that the liberals have, those that are in power, is when they say anything, they say, I think or I believe.
You're right.
Firstly, they don't think with their heads. They think with their emotions.
Right.
Secondly, what is it that they believe? It's selfishness and global conquest.
Well, that's the motivation. Yeah. What they believe is, in other words, that would be the end result. What they believe is human beings can be perfected. Once again, we've talked about Marx and the difference between socialism and communism, and there is a difference, according to Marx. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that difference would be, under socialism, you still have a government apparatus who is in the process of winding things down and sort of closing up shop, okay? And that's what they're supposed to do under socialism, so that when you mature into communism, there's no need to have a government. You have open borders, right? So people can come and go freely. No one goes wanting for anything, so there's going to be no necessity for crime. Right? There will be no pressure on people, so there will be no need for drug abuse or alcohol abuse. It's this utopian notion that if you can set up the right circumstances such that no one has to suffer any pain in life, everything will be great, and everybody will be wonderful, and everything will be just fine and dandy. You see, this is what they actually believe can happen. You see, and if we lose track of this, we don't understand what really motivates them. Because they're coming at this as though they're going to save humankind and the planet in the process. You understand?
So they think
they're doing the ultimate good thing. They don't see it like we do as being sinister and one world government. They're too stupid to understand that you can't get to Marxist communism. Because human beings are lying, cheating, thieving, sinners, when you get right down to it. And no amount of good circumstances will change that.
And, of course, it's already been tried so many places, so many times, but they just feel it just hasn't been done right. And
if they can
tweak it
the way they want it, it'll work.
It's right.
They just didn't do it right. They didn't follow the recipe,
right.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped us from doing it.
Right.
They are greater than God.
That's in their mind.
It's rebellion against the Lord. It's rebellion against the God of the Bible.
Hey, look, when you don't believe in God,
right, exactly.
Somebody's
no got
to step up to the plate and take care of things,
right.
You see?
Yeah. Right.
And so many of them have become what they call, quote unquote, secularists, which is a fancy way of saying they don't believe in God.
Pagan.
Yeah,
veganism.
I don't know if it's even that. It's they're atheists or agnostics. They just don't even care anymore. They figure, why worry about it? You know, so we'll take care of things. And of course, communism, Marxism is atheistic, right? The whole idea is if you're sitting around waiting on God to do things, you're an idiot.
You have to tear down religion. You have to tear down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're in the process.
And
that's exactly what they're in the process of doing. Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened in Nicaragua. In the Miskit Indians in the Atlantic coast of Nicaragua are very strong evangelical Christians. And so during the revolution, the attack on the church was ongoing. So they decided to take to handle it. They would kill the Sandinistas cut their stomach and put in a Bible in their tummy. Oh. And so then Daniel Ortega said, I better stop attacking the church. So then he gave permission for them to worship. And now he reigns in peace because people are happy that they can practice their religion.
Sometimes it does pay to give somebody a taste of their own medicine, right? You know, because they were being brutalized, they were being murdered, they were being assassinated, and they said, okay, you want to play that way? We'll give you a taste of your own medicine.
How long have I been saying now that it's time for another crusade?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in essence, we're already in it. We just haven't labeled it correctly.
Well, all right, we're sitting back and letting them.
All right.
No, it's a one-way war.
Yeah. Right. All right, we come back. We're going to talk more about illegal immigration and legal immigration. And don't forget, please join Legal Immigrants for America. You can do it easily by going to golifa.com or simply text LIFA to 53445. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you're listening to The American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. We were talking about how Loretta Lynch, in front of a congressional committee this week under questioning, admitted that illegal immigrants are entitled to a job in this country as much as any American citizen is entitled to a job in this country. And this is in the face of horrendous jobs employment numbers. Paula has some numbers here for us. If you'll,
I do.
These are numbers. This is a difference between when Obama took office
in 08,
and when he was elected, and now.
Right, the debt to GDP ratio, it was 64.8, and now is 101.6%.
And that debt to GDP ratio, when it goes over 100%, that's when they start classifying you as a basket case, as a third world country. That's where Greece was. When they defaulted, okay, go ahead.
Then, in 2008, the people on food stamps were 28.2 million. Today is 47.6 million.
And of course, the Democrats see that as an achievement.
An achievement.
Right.
In 2008, poverty was 13.2%. It is 15% today. In the home ownership, in 08, 67.5%, and today is 65%.
And that's considered low,
very low.
Yeah.
And in 08, 118 million full-time workers. That's what we had. And today we have only 117 million.
Right. And what you have to understand is that should have gone up.
The population has grown.
Exactly. Yep. And so, and this is why when we look at the number of people who are of working age and eligible, about a third of them are not working. And it's because the economy has not produced the jobs and the wealth and the creativity that it could have been doing under different policies.
This administration has been terrible for the blacks and for the blacks and Hispanics. I believe the blacks have 50% unemployment rate.
Right. And once again, this gets back to Loretta Lynch's comments. And that is that we are tolerating a lot of, still to this day, illegal immigration or illegals in the workforce in this country. And that's part of the cost of it right there to Americans.
Right.
All right. More of us on food stamps, less of us owning homes, less of us in the workforce. because these jobs are jobs Americans would do, but are not doing because they have been given to illegal aliens.
That's right.
And there was, I believe it was about a year ago, there was a meat packing plant in Colorado, or maybe it was in Oklahoma or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the word was, oh, you know, Americans wouldn't do these jobs, and yet Americans would line up to get those jobs. I forget all the particulars about it, but the illegals had taken the jobs, and then when they gave them to Americans, Americans gladly came out to get the jobs.
Absolutely. And the high school kids.
Right.
My brother-in-law in California, he went to Redlands College. He told me when he was a kid, he would go pick fruit,
yeah,
so that he could pay for his college.
And let me tell you something. If you want to have a minimum wage, let the marketplace set it. Okay? If we didn't have the illegals in this country, only Americans to do the jobs, all right, then at some point Americans are going to do the jobs, mm-hmm, you know, depending on the pay, right? So
yes,
the minimum wage would naturally set itself. It would be somewhere out there,
right,
where people would be willing to go out and pick oranges, pick tomatoes, clean toilets, do whatever it takes to earn money. Because then they would begin to understand that once you begin to earn money, you can earn more money and you can do other things. And you can have some, as they call it, financial independence.
And of course, also Loretta Lynch with the Attorney General of the United States saying something like that. It's an open invitation, you know, and we always hear when they interview illegals, you know, said, well, what made you come here? And said, well, we were told, you know, if we make it across, you know, we'll be able to work.
Right.
They'll be rewarded. And we had to sign that we would not be a burden to the American taxpayer.
Yeah.
We, the illegal immigrants, that really gets me because it's a double standard.
Well, exactly. Not only do they make you sign a pledge that you won't be, but they encourage the illegal to be.
Well,
right?
And there's another thing here. When Loretta Lynch was asked, if an employer does not hire an illegal, can they sue for discrimination?
And?
She avoided the question.
Right. Because it's a legal question that they don't want to deal with, because that is the implication of her earlier statement, you see.
Exactly.
That if they are entitled to a job just like an American citizen, if they are denied that job, if they're entitled to it, there must be some sort of legal recourse, legal repercussions, legal obligations, if you will, that are not being fulfilled here. So, of course, she didn't want to answer that question, because that is the natural
progression that they're looking to take.
Well, that would come from that.
They are wanting to get rid of the southern border and just have open borders for anyone and everyone. My brother in Seattle, bless his darling heart, liberal left-wing loon, believes in exactly that.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, they don't believe the negative side effects that, of course, you guys talk about, we talk about on the show, that Donald Trump is out there talking about. There was a report that was released this week, and it came out on One American News Network, that a lot of these illegal, quote-unquote, children who came here over the last few summers, right, from many of them from Central America, actually, mm-hmm, have come here either already as part of gangs or have joined gangs.
The MS-13, from El Salvador.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is really weird. Because if you add all the population of all of the Central American countries, from Panama all the way to Guatemala, that's six countries, you come up with 44 million. So, but every day you hear, boy, those Central Americans are everywhere, everywhere. So do we have empty countries in Central America? I say no. I contend that the jails are empty, but not the population, because they're mounting. They have more people today.
You think that they're doing what Fidel Castro did?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Sending us their best.
Sending us their
cream of the
criminals.
Well,
yeah.
Well, certainly many of these young people are now gang members in our country. There's no denying that. They focused on Long Island, New York, where when these children come here now, unaccompanied by adults, and they are apprehended or turn themselves in or whatever to the Border Patrol, they are then processed, and sponsors, quote-unquote sponsors, come forward to offer to take care of these, you know, indigent children. And so in Long Island, New York, you have 2,000 of them who have been relocated there under sponsorship care. Well, the sponsors don't really provide any care. That's no. just a scheme to get them into the United States and more permanently rooted here. And these 2,000 kids, almost all of them are now in gangs in Long Island, New York.
And the girls are turned into sex slaves.
Because
they're not relatives, really, that take care of them.
They're the ones that don't join the gangs themselves.
And
voluntarily be part of gangs and gang activity.
But we're also going to have to bring the parents across because the families are broken.
Well, at this point, it doesn't seem as though that matters whether the parents come here or not. Now you have criminal activity that is going on because we have chosen to, out of the goodness of our heart, house these kids. Remember, these are children that we're supposedly talking about here. Into the United States. That may be a problem yet to come, but there's a problem already here right now, and it's pretty doggone bad.
Right. We should reunite them with their parents.
Down there.
Send them back there.
Right.
Besides, they're not really children. When you look at them, they're young men. Now, keep in mind that they have found the people crossing the borders come from over 70 countries. And some of them are Middle Eastern countries they buy a passport, a Central American passport to cross the border, and then they depict themselves as Central Americans, but they're not.
There's a lot of Iranians that have come in from the southern border.
This is the problem when you don't have a border, which is really what we have, the situation we have now.
And you tie the hands of the Border Patrol.
Is that you don't know who is coming and or going. It could be anybody, literally.
Absolutely.
And it is everybody, literally, coming and going here. All right, well, we got to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to continue. Okay, welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Christopher Hart, Aubrey Kahn in the studio with Legal Immigrants for America's very own Amapola Hansberger and Bruni. And we're in just a minute, we're going to tell you about, you've heard of the deplorables. We're going to tell you about the deportables. All right, we'll tell you about that in just a minute. But Legal Immigrants for America, they're doing a lot of great things out there to get this issue first and foremost in many voters' minds and get into everyone's mind the importance of this issue. Donald Trump has gone a long way to do that, but so has Legal Immigrants for America. And once again, you can help them by going to golifa.com. They are a nonprofit organization, and if you can make a donation, that would be a big help. And if you'd like to make a donation and get a copy of The Bible and Immigration, you can do that for $25, and then for another $10 donation, each $10 donation after that, you can get another copy of that book, autographed by Steve Gushaw. And just went into the second printing, he told us the other day. So congratulations on that. You can also get the Voter's Guide, the Illegal Immigration's Voter's Guide. And they also there's a silent auction for the condo over on the beach. And if you get in, the minimum bid is $800. And if you get in, I think the auction is August the 4th is going to be the auction. Oh.
Yeah,
is actually held the 4th, and then it's a 3-suite condo over there right on the beach, and a lot of great amenities. So go to golifa.com to check all of that out, please. And also, if you would like to see or there's someone that you think you can get them to go see because they need to see Hillary's America, Life is making that available too.
Yeah, we'd like to invite any people interested in seeing it to attend the viewing at Heathrow Country Club on Sunday the 16th at 12:30. Now, we will feed you a nice brunch. And so it is $20. But we will have a great time. We'll have speakers and interesting people there. So come and join us and bring your Democrat or your minority friend with you.
All right. That's golifa.com to register for that. Golifa.com. And that's going to be on August the 16th.
No, it's next month is October.
Did I say August? October.
October. Yeah, you mean October.
You're behind the times, my friend.
Yeah.
October the 16th, Hillary's America and Heathrow. And $20, that's pretty good deal for, yeah, especially
with a brunch.
Digs up there nice in Heathrow, brunch. You better believe it. All right, so please take advantage of that. And you can find out more information and register at golifa.com.
Yeah, we need you to reply because we have to give the country club a number, an estimated number of people attending.
Right.
Because we'll pay for the food whether you come or not. So
please
let us know you're coming.
All right. I want to talk about the refugees a little bit, but before we get entirely away from the illegals coming across the border down there, last month there was a huge surge of numbers. Did you ladies see the news reports of that? There was a huge surge of numbers of people crossing the southern border, apprehensions of people coming here illegally, and people are beginning to speculate that Donald Trump is actually going to get elected and actually build a wall, so they want to get on up here while the
before
getting's good.
Right. Yeah, right.
The getting's
That's right.
good.
That's
and
right.
they, well, all I can say is, you know, hey.
They're not stupid.
They ain't stupid, is they? It's a phenomenon that's probably going to continue until that the border is slammed shut.
There was also a report, supposedly on Department of Homeland Security, has been underreporting the numbers. They say about 80% of people trying to come in here are stopped and are turned away, but it's really less than kind of right around 50 or even less. But Obama actually tried to suppress that report, that particular report, because he was afraid, of course, it would help Trump.
Oh, yeah, it would. And because he's for securing the border. And then, of course, you have the refugees who are we are bringing into this country more
by
or less
a boatload.
More and these aren't illegals. I mean, we're bringing them in here in a legal fashion. We may not like it, but it's being done legally. The president can do this, and the laws do allow for him to do this. And yeah, just a week or so ago, he was bragging about bringing in the 10,000th. Now he says he wants to bring in like 15 times that many over the next 2 years.
And did you see from his personal stash? He is going to have at least $4.6 million allotted for the emotional well-being of the refugees.
Well, we can't have them coming to the United States of America and suffering.
No.
To come to the United States of America.
We've got to respect that they want to follow Sharia.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the United Nations has been given the authority to bring some of them also from everywhere. And so in Idaho now, it's an invasion, a tremendous invasion. They are totally changing the scenery.
As they are wont to do.
The whole purpose, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really blame them. I mean, we don't like it. We don't want to live that way.
Right.
But you can't necessarily blame them when it is our government who is bringing them here and planting them around the country amongst us, like crabgrass.
Like in Minnesota, look what happened last night in Minnesota.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's our government's fault.
Question.
Yeah.
When immigrants come to this country, why is it that Americans have to assimilate?
Well, it's kind of got flipped around on us. Mm-hmm. But there's also the cost of these refugees.
Which is very high. It's $20,000 to resettle each refugee.
Actually, some estimates are as high as over $60,000.
Over $60,000.
It depends on what you mean by resettle them. But in either case, it is not a one-time payment. It is just the down payment to get them from point A to point B. Okay, go ahead.
They spend $1.8 billion per year on federal support because 74% of them are on welfare. 56% of them receive Medicaid, 47 receive cash assistance, 22% receive housing assistance. And Obama is going to bring 45,000 more in the next 2 years.
Now, that, right. those, as I said, those numbers actually, I believe, are dated and old.
Right.
First of all, it's not 45,000.
It's
150,000 over the next 2 years. Right.
Oh,
and once again, depending on what you mean by relocation fees, it's a lot. I mean, the lowest I've heard is $20,000. Because you're talking about transporting them from over there to here. You've got the vetting process that goes on.
What vetting process?
You may laugh at it, but it costs us money. Okay.
But they don't vet them. That's besides the point.
I'm not talking about the effectiveness. I'm talking about the cost.
Okay.
It costs us a lot of money to go through this charade.
Yes, it does.
Okay. To get them here. And then, of course, once they're here, they have to be housed. They have to have clothes. Mm-hmm. They have to have everything that you need to live as a human being.
Language classes.
Well, that too. Right. Exactly. I hadn't even got to the
pre-university.
Yeah. I'm talking about the bare basic necessities
of survival.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Toilet paper, the bare basic necessities, food, water. Okay. And then, now you're talking education, health care, employment, all the other things. And then they're going to turn around and sue us when they get mad about something. Was it you or you telling me that they're suing us because of the lack of jobs or something like that, right? I know they're doing it in Germany. They're suing in Germany. They're suing the school system because they don't like that their kids were put in special ed classes because they can't speak German and aren't on the same level of kids who are in German schools, or I should say regular German schools.
Well, the same's happened here.
Okay, and then they're also suing in Sweden and Germany because they don't like the jobs that they're being offered, right? Because they're low-level jobs. They're beginner jobs. But, of course, they don't have the skills to do any damn thing else. So this is the fine howdy-do. This is the thank you we get, you see?
Right. And it's all the taxpayers that pay for it.
Right.
Well, you've got to remember also that the average veteran or person on Social Security gets $1,100 a month. However, the immigrants that we're bringing in, I use the word immigrant.
Great guys.
All right, we got some great gals in the studio with us tonight. That's Bruni and Amapola from Legal Immigrants for America. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we were talking about the cost of these refugees that are being brought into this country, and we were talking in terms of financial costs and things like that. And then, of course, there's also the cultural effect as well. And this, once again, I mean, it may seem odd, but we can't blame these people for wanting to come here and do what they're taught to do. This is what they're supposed to do with their lives, and that is to go into countries like our own and to turn them into countries like their own.
That's right.
I mean, it's not shame on them. It's shame on us for being stupid enough to do this. Mm-hmm. And once again, though, I think that this is going to help Donald Trump. You were going to say something.
Well, I say if all those people contribute so well, why are we in Central America called third world?
Right. Real quick.
I have a remarkable fact, and that is that the Mexican and Central American immigrants collect the highest welfare of any group of immigrants in America, with an average annual household welfare benefit of $8,251, which is 86%, almost 90%. Higher than households of native-born Americans.
Okay.
That's wrong.
All right. Well, what's wrong is that we got way too many people in this country on welfare at all.
Yes.
But, it seems as though in the Democrats' mind, the more people that you have on welfare and the more they get, the better you have done.
Right.
The right?
better you may feel right. in your
yeah,
heart.
Exactly. Success. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Right. And then, of course, there was the deplorables, and then there's the
deportables, which are the army of Hillary.
The deplorables
are the army of Trump, but then the deportables are the army of of Hillary,
and that would be let's see.
The deportables?
Yeah, the deportables. Do you have that right there? Yeah, there you go.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's their supporters, made up of freeloaders, foreigners, and illegals who commit many of our crimes and eat up the budget with welfare, food stamps, Medicaid, free meals at school, Obamacare, Obama phones, earned income tax credits for illegals who don't report any income, and tax refunds by illegals with stolen taxpayer IDs.
Right. And she's reading from an article in Town Hall magazine called The Deplorables versus the Deportables by Wayne Allen Root.
Yes.
And, it's just another way to turn that around.
He's a libertarian, but I really do like him. He's so wise.
Yeah, he is. He is indeed. And he's written an excellent book called The War on the Middle Class. And his solution, by the way, is what he called the George Costanza solution from the Seinfeld series. I don't know if you remember the episode where it's opposite George, where George does exactly the opposite of what his instincts tell him to do. And he gets a girlfriend, he gets a job with the New York Yankees, and all these other great things happen to him because he does exactly the opposite, right? So Wayne Allen's root solution for America is do the exact opposite of everything Barack Obama has done. That'll get America back on track.
It pretty much sums it up.
Indeed, it does. All right, let's go to Mary on the line. Mary, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a comment since you guys are talking about refugees and all the good things they get for free.
Yes.
I was just reading an article online about undocumented students who want to be included in the local scholarship program that provides free tuition to in-state public colleges and universities.
Yeah, this is already happening in a number of states.
Mm-hmm. Brown University gives them free college.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a gonna, coulda, it is.
And there's also some colleges in California that are making families contribute to scholarships for illegals. It's part of the school fees that they have, the college fees that they have to pay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of the fees they tack on for books and
classes. For Americans.
Classes.
The American kids have to pay greater fees.
And what do you think is going to happen once these kids graduate? They usually will tend to go into professions that are, in
liberals.
The social liberal type fields and try to multiply this.
Yeah, they'll either go into journalism or government.
Right.
Yeah. So
the problem, become attorneys to fight for illegal immigration.
Yeah. The problem already exists, unfortunately, Mary.
It's really sad to see how America is going down. Oh my gosh.
Well,
thank you so much.
That's why we're fighting. And we can win this fight. You know, the numbers are turning dramatically for Trump, and it really turned a lot of it last weekend. And a lot of it had to do with her falling, diving, whatever it was, into that van. People see this, and I was looking at the numbers you just showed me there, Aubrey. When it comes to the blacks, that's what really turned. And people look at that and they go, this woman is not, she's not going to be my leader. And she can't even stand up. Right? And she's expected to lead the greatest country in the world in some of the most trying times in history? Oh, hell no. And so they're going to go to the guy who looks like a leader or woman. And in this case, it's Donald Trump. And so not only can we win this thing, but my theme tonight is let's think big. If we're going to think about winning, why not think about winning big? Why not think about getting 50% of the Hispanic vote?
Yes.
It can be done. Why not think of getting 15 to 20% of the black vote? It can be done because this is a wave election year. People are looking to change things. They're looking, there's around them, and they're going, I don't like so much a lot of what I see. And we need to change this. And I believe it can happen, and I believe we can have a big win, Mary. So don't get down. Just get determined.
Get even.
Exactly. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. I also wanted to say thank you to the LIFE people. I had the chance to meet Amapola, Steve, and Amapola's husband.
Yes, Jim.
Two weekends ago, and thank you so much for what you're doing. I'm also a legal immigrant. I came from Venezuela, and I lost my country to communism, and I don't want to lose America.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, with your help, and we get Donald Trump elected, and with his help, we'll put this thing back on track. Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye. Have a good night.
All right. We got time for Norman's phone call. Norm's calling us from San Diego again. Norman, how you doing tonight or this afternoon?
No, we already have a border wall here.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's thanks to Duncan Hunter, who made sure that got built down there. Duncan Hunter, not the Duncan Hunter who's in Congress now, but his father. And
yes, Duncan, not Duncan D. Hunter, but Duncan.
Exactly.
That's his daddy.
Right.
And the thing is that, immigrants to me are a little different than that, bringing different cultures that are like Middle Eastern cultures is a lot different from having Mexican cultures.
Oh, God, yeah. You're talking, at least Mexicans are, it's a Western culture, it's a Westernized culture. The Middle East also has
elements of European culture too.
Exactly. It's when I say Western, I mean Western at all.
More of a Judeo-Christian background.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much.
But see, when I go to Dallas has as many Hispanic people as there is here in San Diego, or maybe not as many, but it sure seems like it. It seems just as Hispanic there as it is here. And I don't know the exact statistics, but, I mean, they're working in everybody's houses.
I was going to say they're there because that's where the jobs are.
And it's also 10 or 12 hours away from the border. Right now I'm 15 minutes away from the border.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're coming a long way to get jobs.
Yeah.
And they don't go around killing people. We have criminal element, but there are some good people that want to work and come for the opportunities, but we do have some criminal element that those people should go home.
Yeah,
they
well,
of course, and we do. I agree that I think that they, if they are good people and they want to work, I think they should be able to come here, but they shouldn't be offered citizenship. They should get a work program to work here.
Yeah, but,
and then we'll know who they are. They shouldn't be on the dole. They should be paying taxes.
Yeah,
because they really, for instance, in Dallas, which is a big money town, we all know that, they really do contribute a lot to this town.
Yeah, and there's Americans don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with that. People come in here legally to work on a work visa or work permit, whatever you want to call it. The problem is, look at it this way. Let's say, let's say that U2 is going to throw a big concert at the stadium where they play football in San Diego, okay?
Okay.
So you sell tickets ahead of time for $50 a pop, right? But then the day you have the game, you take down the fence around the stadium and let anybody come in. So what's the point next time of buying a ticket? You just go and you show up, you see? We have a system where we have exactly what you're talking about. But because we have no border and therefore no door, basically they have to go through. They just flood over the border, and there's no way of keeping track of it. So and then, since,
but if they're coming over to contribute, that in my opinion, that's a different subject.
But see, this is why it has been allowed. You see, is the thinking is, well, we would let them come here legally if the process could keep up with it, because actually they just want to come here and work and have jobs and blah, 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 blah. So why not just turn a blind eye and let it go?
And so we can have 96 million Americans on the dole.
And see, the problem is exactly. You've now opened the stadium to anybody. The people who have bought tickets are left standing outside because everybody who didn't get a ticket is already inside.
Right. And so, besides, they don't contribute as much as they receive.
Right.
See, they receive more benefits.
That's true, too.
Their
income should be taxed.
Right, exactly. And I see we're on agreement. The problem is, as I said, there's no fence around the stadium. So they can come here legally or they can come here illegally. And so why come here legally if you can come the other way? So you have to have a fence around the stadium and a gate. In other words, a wall, like you were talking about in San Diego. Hey, thanks, Norman. Gotta go.
And talking about fences, since I'm German, an Oktoberfest just started in Munich. This is the first time in its history it is surrounded, Wiesn is surrounded by a fence.
By a fence, for security reasons.
Yes, for security reasons. How of sad. Course, they're very worried about any kind of issues.
You know, why lock your doors?
Yeah.
Why close your windows?
Right.
You know, why lock your car? Why not just leave the keys there so that anyone can come in and steal and take what they want?
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this hour of the show. Stick around. We got another hour to go. And then you got Armed American Radio, who will take you live and from 8 until 11 tonight. So a lot of great live radio yet. Stick around.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we're finishing off the last segment, you know, talking about illegals and so on, and it really, really gets my goat. I'm a legal immigrant. I'm African-American, and I've been in this country for over 20 years. And like the people from LIFA keep saying, when you come here legally, you have to sign affidavits and swear that you will not be a burden on the state, that you will not do certain things, and that you will uphold the law. But when you come across the border illegally, you don't have to do any of that because the government lays down on its back and says, rape me. And they willingly give illegals anything and everything they want.
Well, I don't know if it's anything and everything, but they sure enough make it pretty comfy for him, that's for sure. All right, that is Aubrey Kahn with his monologue.
I got about an hour to go still.
All right, we got about an hour to go, and then at 8 o'clock, Armed American Radio with Mark Walters takes over. I'm Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. Kathy Santomassino will be joining us momentarily, but right now, coming to us live from California, fresh off the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling 30th anniversary, it'd be Sunny Patricia Summerlin. Hey, Sunny, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you? It's sunny and beautiful up here. It's a perfect day in Southern California, or should I say Central California.
Now, when you said sunny and beautiful, are you referring to the weather or yourself?
Oh, aren't you sweet? Well, hopefully both. I don't know. My alter ego has been cloudy.
Oh,
it's because of Hillary,
that.
I suppose.
Sure, guys, I have switched to become a heel, so I think that's rather that's good. I'm happy. I like my character. You have to check it out. I have to send you a picture of my Cloudy.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's pretty awesome. Thanks to Janair DeVera, who draws all of our artwork on each and every Glow Girl. Speaking of which, I do have a cool sunny wrap for you guys.
A sunny wrap. All right.
Right, that's our intro before we get into the ring, or as we go in the ring and the lights go dim and we're playing to 70, 80,000 in a coliseum, this is the way it works. I'm Sunny and Newport is my turf, sun and sand and dreaming surf. Watch me with my golden curls, they all wish they were California girls.
Very nice.
I thought I'd share one with you. I have many more, but as we go along,
little Beach Boys
we're celebrating
there.
Glow and yeah. and everything glow, because everything in this world is glowing. It should be, we'd like to say, in a positive manner.
I hear you. I hear you. Okay, so you just had the 30-year anniversary. What'd you do?
You know, we all just pushed social media and did cheers. All the girls on social media came out, and more and more are, because, as you know, we're being honored next year. Thank you, Brian Blair. Much sunny love. And Carl Lahr, and to all the board members, for finally, I didn't give up pushing it, then we're getting honored May 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Gold Coast Hotel. Come see all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Girls.
Oh,
50,
yeah.
Can you imagine? From first to fourth season on television, all four season girls, except a few who have passed and a few who do not want to be found. They just ran. They don't want to be.
I can understand that.
You know, that yeah, happens.
Indeed.
But
indeed.
Director, Matt Simber, will be there. Our writer, Steve Blanche. I'm so excited. David McLean. Oh, my God. It's going to be the biggest in Las Vegas. So all
cool.
you wrestling fans out there, this is your chance to see all your Glow Girls in one place, in one time.
Yeah.
In history.
Yeah, speaking of Brian, he was on our show Friday, and he was at Carl's house, he and Carl Lauer.
I know.
Yeah.
He went to visit Carl. He told me about his flight, and he hopes to enjoy it, and I'm sure they had plenty to talk about.
All right. Yeah, you know... One of the things we talked about, of course, is some politics with them. And you got this LA Times poll out there. Have you been watching this thing?
Yes. Well, as a matter of fact, I guess the battleground states, they're 42-42.
That's,
they're tied.
That's CBS shows. That's an average of about a dozen battleground states, indeed.
Yes.
And that was conducted over the last few days of about 5,000 people over the internet. But
however, might I add, 41% are still not with either. How about that?
There's still a lot of people out there. The support is soft, mostly though for Hillary. For Trump, his support is solid. It's solid. It's somewhere around 40%.
Yes.
And her support is around 43%, but it's not as solid as his, because the enthusiasm just isn't there.
But they're hoping Trump changes Washington, has the effect
well,
to change that,
that's
Washington.
The,
and that's what, you know, everybody who's for Trump wants that.
Well, not just everybody who's for Trump, as a matter of fact, now that you brought it out.
Everybody wants that in our world. I'm not saying, you know, Demo, Republican, Liberal, anybody that lives today
right.
in our world wants a change. We need a change.
Yeah, you talk about this 42-42 CBS poll. It showed that 55% of these voters in these battleground states want to see, quote-unquote, big changes in the nation's politics, and 43% want to see some changes. All of that, see, is good for Trump, because he's seen as the change agent. And Hillary Clinton is not.
No, and, I think it's 20% for trusting Hillary to change Washington.
Right. And that sounds about right, because, of course, she's a part of the Washington establishment. It'd be very difficult for her to change it. And as a
right.
matter of fact, the president, Barack Obama, as he's campaigning for her now, his campaign tactic is that if you like me, you'll vote for her.
Exactly. You know, I find it interesting that, you know, and thank God nobody passed away or was, you know, but there was 29 injured in New York, speaking of which, where Obama is going to visit.
Yeah.
And many other, you know, statement are
well,
coming.
Well,
so,
see, what it is
that's
is
kind of interesting, though they haven't called it a terrorist act yet.
Well, of course not, but it was. And it is the General Assembly of the UN is convening this week. And so, yeah, the president will be there, and leaders from all over the world will be there.
That's kind of scary. And we do need a change, because you can't even be safe anymore. You're walking past the trash bin, and, you know, probably hopes to drop some trash in, and instead it explodes, you know, with bombs. I mean, what is this world coming to?
I know. You know, I was watching some of the videos this morning, last night, they kept just showing this one picture of this dumpster that had been, you know, blown up. But this morning they showed video images that were taken from surveillance cameras in stores and places. And if you didn't know what was going on, it would have been funny. It was sort of like the old cartoons where you see these people walk by and then they turn around and they're running in the other direction. But of course, it's because the bomb had just gone off and there's nothing funny about it.
No, but, not at all.
But you know, you can see.
You've got to find humor in everything in life, I guess, to survive nowadays because there's just so much ugliness.
Well, see, but the point I'm trying to make, though, is that you see people walking by normally, and then all of a sudden a bomb goes off and they're running away.
Yeah.
And you're going, this is New York. This is New York City.
This is what happened on 9/11.
Right. And so this is, you know, whether they call it terrorism or not, people are going to look at bombs going off in a city as being some form of terrorism, whether it's a Muslim terrorist, whether it's a skinhead terrorist.
It doesn't really matter. You know, weirdo, if you want to call it, or skinhead. I don't know who did this, but it's still sad. The safety idea of it, again, you're just walking, and look what happens.
Right.
I mean, that's where we need change. We need someone that's really going to change our world.
Right. And then you're talking about that, and then you got the optics of after it happened, you had Trump's response was where he is basically, like you said, the change. He's going, I'll stop this. I'll do something about this. In other words, I'll change things is what he's saying. And then you see Hillary Clinton's response, and she's on the airplane. She looks like somebody just woke her up, and she's talking in a very low key, you know, this sort of Washington gobbledygook. Well, we got to know all the facts first, and we got to, you know, be paid. We can't rush to judgments. You know, all the same old, exactly.
And, okay, well, let me ask you guys this. What do you think about Trump's 15% tax rate on businesses?
I think it should be zero. Zero. No, I'm serious. I'm a businessman. Aubrey's a businessman. Kathy, who's in the studio, she's a businesswoman. We understand that I'm a carpenter, okay? Mm-hmm. So when I get a contract and I tell somebody, okay, it's going to cost you $2,000 to fix your house, okay? And in that cost is included my costs and my time that I allot for my labor. And so whatever my costs are is in that price. So if there's a tax in there, it's in that price.
Exactly.
Okay, so every corporation in this country, none of them pay a tax. Do you want to know why? Because they include the tax in the price. So their customers pay the tax, right?
Yeah.
So why charge them a tax when they don't pay it? They raise the price of their good or their service to pay the tax. Why not give corporations the quote-unquote tax break, which means actually you're giving the people the tax break, and because we would have a lower tax break than many other countries around the world, investment dollars would come flooding in. It's an ingenious tax plan.
I agree with you on that.
So,
I disagree with the way Trump is thinking on that.
Well, no, so what I'm saying, what Trump is saying is lower it to 15%, and this will bring jobs and investment back to the United States, and he's correct. For instance, in Ireland, when they did this in Ireland, they dropped their rate. It was like 30%, and they cut it in half. Corporations flooded in there.
Right. A lot of American corporations moved there because of it.
You're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Our corporations went there because they're not stupid.
Yep.
You know, they're saying, look, we're in business to make money. And because most corporations that we're talking about here are publicly traded corporations, which means they have to answer to stockbrokers and stockholders and everything, they are going to go where they can make the most money. So why not make the United States of America the place to go to make the most money? That's what Trump
and
is talking.
Stay here and have it boom again.
Exactly.
And this I agree.
I want to ask you, what did you think of Trump's plan for maternity leave and helping women and families take better care of children and elderly?
I agree. I liked his plan on that. Yes.
All right. Because
I'm not in disagreement with some of his views. I just don't like when he goes around it. When he's straight and he actually explains what he's going to do, which he's doing that now, in much better than he was in the beginning. he's coming out now and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And his talks that he's sitting down with interviews, his interviewers are bringing it out in him. And I like some of his answers. He's not avoiding the questions like he used to, in my opinion. Well, and he was skating around it. That's his method, though. That's the Trump method.
Well, that's just it. You know, we've talked about, politics being like professional wrestling.
This,
you know, he really played
true to a T.
He understands this. You see, he understands it, and he's using it to his advantage. He did this past week when he didn't actually bring it up, but he toyed with the media over the so-called birther issue, and he said he was going to make it a big announcement about it and everything, and so he had the media breathlessly waiting and then breathlessly covering his event where he had all these military people get up and endorse him, and then at the very end, and he basically said, okay, Hillary Clinton started this, I ended it, Barack Obama's a citizen of the United States, and he turned and he walked off. So they were there the whole time to hear him basically say that, and he had them sit through about 30 minutes of great endorsements by military leaders who are wearing medals of honor and bronze stars and purple hearts and everything, and they were incensed that he had managed to play them like that. But it was just right out of, you know, professional wrestling. You set up the anticipation, and then you give them the whammy at the end, where
you give him the encore.
There you go.
That's
there you go.
What it is. If you don't get the applause, you did something wrong.
Yeah.
And in wrestling, anyway, if you get the boos, you also did right. So
that's right.
Again, it's that fine line, because you've got the ones who hate you and you've got the ones who love you. And the same thing with Trump and Hillary and in the world of politics. But however, I agree with Trump, and, you know, I'm staying on the fence right now. Still, we've still got some time.
Okay.
And I'm liking his play. I'm still listening to what Hillary is, and I know what you guys said about, you know, possible her illness or whatnot, but of course she's denying that. They say
of course she's denying it.
Flu.
Yeah.
Sunny.
Yes.
Can I recommend a book to you?
Please.
It's called The Fair Tax Book. By Neil Bortz and Congressman John Linder. Take a read and then come back and tell us what your thoughts are.
I will do that when I get a chance amongst everything I'm doing, but I would love to.
It's
anything that will make me understand that the tax and the tax break and so on and so forth, because I was a small business owner, so I know what it feels like.
You know what we're talking about.
Yep. Absolutely, absolutely. And I do want to give a shout out to the Rams that are playing today. Go Rams, they're back in the Coliseum. And our Raiders.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, back in L.A.
And then we've got the Paralympics. Our USA team was down by 1 point. It was 58-59, all the way to four quarters, head-to-head. These guys are in wheelchairs, guys with no legs.
Playing basketball.
With no arms, one arm. It was heartbreaking, but wow, to see their passion. Those guys are the true heroes against anybody in this world, that they don't give up. And you see these guys in wheelchairs participating in a tough sport, the wheelchair basketball and the Rio Olympics, Paralympics. So I just want to throw that out there. It was very, very inspiring.
All right. Indeed it is. All right. You're an inspiration yourself. You take care, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Aubrey.
Take
Have
care.
A wonderful, wonderful sunny week.
Thank
we'll
you,
do just
too.
That.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back with more of tonight's American Adversaries 3-Hour Classic Edition.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us until 8 o'clock, 407-774-8255. Real quickly, don't forget, if you didn't hear, then let me tell you now, that Tuesday at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7:30, there will be an open house for the new building that True Life Choice will be moving into. Of course, True Life Choice provides sonograms and other assistance for women who are considering an abortion, and they get them to do the other thing, if you will.
Right.
Have the kid. All right, so that's Tuesday from 5 to 7:30 at the new building, which is at 1851 West Colonial Drive. That's between Tampa and the trail there. All right, that's 1851 Tuesday at 5 o'clock. All right, TrueLifeChoice.org, by the way, as you can find out more about that, TrueLifeChoice.org. All right, Kathy Santomassino's in here. She's got some odd stories, and they're always out there. So what you got this week?
Well, here's some interesting info for all you people that think that the liberal media is not on Donald Trump's side. We can argue that point.
No, I think you got that wrong. The liberal media is not on Donald Trump's side?
Correct.
No, I think... You said it as though they're on his side.
Well, okay.
What you meant is that they are not on his side. They are on Hillary's side.
Absolutely.
And Barack's.
Okay, now I have some evidence to prove that is actually accurate.
Okay.
There are 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, 9,000 radio stations, 1,500 TV stations, and 2,400 publishers in the U.S., all owned by only six corporations. Who are they? GE, News Corp, Disney, Viacom, Time Warner, and CBS.
What about this station, Salem Media Group?
They're not on the list.
All right.
So, we all know Donald Trump.
Clear Channel is owned by CBS or something. No, not Clear Channel.
iHeart Media now.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway,
okay, let's stay on the subject here. We all know Donald Trump keeps criticizing the bias and corruption of the mainstream media. Well, now we can actually build a case as to why the slant is always more favorable towards the liberals and the Obama administration. Did you know ABC News executive producer Ian Cameron is married to Susan Rice, Obama's national security advisor?
How convenient.
CBS President David Rhodes is the brother of Ben Rhodes, Obama's deputy national security advisor for strategic communications.
Yeah, that one wasn't so highly unknown. In other words, that one was more well-known now.
ABC News correspondent Claire Shipman is married to former White House darling press secretary Jay Carney, who I always say looked like Dennis the Menace. ABC News and Univision reporter Matthew Jaffe is married to Katie Hogan, Obama's deputy press secretary. ABC President Ben Sherwood is the brother of Obama's special advisor, Elizabeth Sherwood. And CNN President Virginia Mosley is married to former Hillary Clinton's deputy secretary, Tom Nides. So it can't be any more clear than that.
There's nothing to see here, folks. Move right along.
A lot of nepotism going on there.
A lot of it.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's actually even deeper
than that.
It
goes a lot deeper.
We won't get into the Muslim connection. Did you hear about the Knievel copycat who rocketed over Snake River Canyon?
Did he make it?
He made it. Remember when Evel Knievel tried to jump over the Snake River Canyon on his motorcycle on September 8th?
Wasn't exactly
1974.
A motorcycle.
Okay, yeah. Well, it was one of those
rocket-propelled engine
motorcycle. Unfortunately, as we all remember, his parachute prematurely deployed partway there, and the stunt was aborted. Luckily, Knievel walked away with only minor injuries. Well, professional stuntman Eddie Braun successfully jumped over the State River Canyon Friday afternoon in an ode to his boyhood idol, Evel Knievel. Braun soared over the Southern Idaho Canyon in a custom-built rocket dubbed Evel Spirit. It launched off a steep ramp on the edge of the canyon rim just before 4 p.m. as hundreds of onlookers watched. Before the jump, the 54-year-old Braun said he was optimistic he would make it across the canyon. Months of testing was performed on the rocket designed by Scott Truax, whose father constructed the original X2 Sky Cycle for Knievel. Braun had trouble finding corporate sponsors for the stunt and said he spent about $1.5 million of his own money on the jump. Truax followed his father's blueprints down to the last bolt and deviated only by updating one thing, the parachute system. Braun appears to have been the first to actually try the stunt, since Knievel's attempt. He looked at the stunt as a way to pay homage to Knievel, who inspired him to become a stuntman.
Well, one has to wonder, were the crowds there shouting, jump, jump, jump? Like they do in New York when the guy's at the top of a building going to commit suicide.
So he actually made it.
He
made
it.
Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
All right, we got another half hour of the show to go. Thank you for listening tonight. Don't forget Mark Walters, American Radio, coming up here at 11 o'clock. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. In the meantime, Kathy's got some more odd stories for us. It's Sunday's odd stories.
This is a great one. This reminded me of Donald Trump. Did you hear about the toilet fit for a king? It looks like something that you might find in the Donald's penthouse, but this solid 18-karat gold toilet is located in a public restroom, and it's waiting for you to come in and give it a go. The working public toilet, which is a new exhibit called America at the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum in New York City, was created by Italian artist Maurizio Catalan. Catalan intends visitors to use the toilet just as they would any other facility in the building.
Jeez.
The Guggenheim said on its blog, in a gallery environment where visitors are constantly being told, don't touch, this is an extraordinary opportunity to spend time completely alone with a work of art by a leading contemporary artist, the blog noted. This gold throne is located behind a nondescript bathroom door and is surrounded by the usual accoutrements of a public toilet, including matching steel toilet paper cover and seat cover dispenser. The value of the work was not given, but if you can crunch the numbers and base the value on a regular toilet, which weighs between 70 and 120 pounds, it would be valued between $1.4 and $2.5 million, given the current value of gold.
What you want to bet that thing ain't going to last very long?
if anyone had any sense, it would be gold-plated. But it sounds like a bunch of Huey to me.
Well, it's interesting to go see it anyway. I don't know if I'd want to use it. I'd feel too guilty.
Is that in the men's, the women's, or the new transgender?
Well, it's probably in the unisex bathroom, I would imagine. Remember, it's in New York City. Don't forget that.
Well, yes, but in New York City, you're allowed to urinate in the street.
Okay, I have a story regarding that.
See, but what you got to be careful of, did you ever see the movie MASH? Not the TV show, but the movie.
Yeah.
No. You remember the part of the movie where they, I guess this was the TV show. Where Frank was sitting on the throne and Hawkeye and them made the walls fall down, right?
Yeah, it was great.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. From the files,
piece of art, right?
From the files of your tax dollars at work, Philadelphia's main transit agency plans to try urine-repelling paint to combat smells and complaints about cleanliness. The Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority will run a trial this fall of a product called Ultra Everdry, a surface coating that makes urine spray back on the offender. Now, how this works, I have no idea, guys. SEPTA spokesman Andrew Bush said complaints are common for any large transit system. SEPTA's maintenance crews are always looking for new ways to tackle cleanup issues aside from their regular cleaning routines, he said. The coating has been used in public spaces in San Francisco and Hamburg, Germany. From what we've understood, it seems like there's been some success with the coating, so we are certainly willing to give this a try, Bush said. San Francisco's Public Works Department used the clear liquid repellent on some of its city walls to fight a chronic public urination problem. A light pole corroded by urine fell in a car in San Francisco last year.
Of course.
Public urination in Philadelphia, as in Frisco, is illegal. The offense carries a $300 fine. So let me get this right. Philly wants to spend millions on urine repelling paint Do you think that there may be a connection between liberal policies and states' fiscal health? The answer to that question is an emphatic yes. For example, Philadelphia has a Democratic mayor by the name of Jim Kenney. Philadelphia has a population of 1.5 million. Their homicide rates are up from last year, 8%. Remember, it's only September. Unemployment rate is 7.7%. The national average is 4.9%. The Pennsylvania labor force participation rate is at 63.5%. The national rate is 62.8%. Now, to give you an idea how states are ranked by the most fiscally responsible, the number one state for fiscal health was Alaska. Governor of Alaska is Bill Walker. He's an independent and former Republican. Florida ranked number six. Rick Scott, of course, is a Republican. And Pennsylvania ranked number 39. Their governor is a Democrat. Who do you think ranked in last place and was the 50th state for the least fiscal responsibility in the union? Any guesses, guys?
Massachusetts.
No.
Washington, D.C.
You're getting warm.
New York.
No, it wouldn't be New York.
They're totally fiscally irresponsible.
All right, who is it?
The state of Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Governor of Connecticut is Donelle Patrick Malloy, and he's a Democrat. And get a load of this. He's currently the chair of the Democratic Governors Association.
I have a question. Why is this urination paint especially for me?
So what do you mean for you?
She said that she had an article for me.
You mentioned urinating in the streets, and it led to the story. Anyway, can you imagine a city spending millions of dollars on this supposedly urine repellent paint?
See what they
when they could be doing things like creating jobs or maybe having a program like SCORE where they can educate people on how to get a better
urinate
job
in the street.
No, here's what you do. You get your security people and you arm them with jars, you know, glass jars or something with pennies or something in it. And every time they see somebody doing that, they rattle that thing in their ear.
But you know,
just like you do with an animal, right?
Why don't you just have like portalettes on corners where there's...
Why don't we just have people who don't do that sort of thing?
Why don't we just make this place a third world country again?
All right.
You know what? They should do testing of this paint here in Florida by putting it in all the gas station bathrooms.
There you go. All right. I think they already have it in there. All right. Anyway, you're from South Africa, right?
Yes. And we don't have portlets in every corner.
You African American.
I'm a freaking American.
You know, they're having evidently a bad drought over there.
Oh, they have a lot of bad stuff going on over there, unfortunately.
Well, and because they're having such a bad drought, the park rangers over there are going to kill 350 hippos and buffaloes
because the rivers are too low and
in an attempt to relieve the impact of the region's most severe drought in more than three decades. The numbers of hippos and buffaloes in Kruger National Park.
Right.
Kruger National?
Correct.
Is that where you used to run?
I had timeshare 30 miles from there.
Is that right? I presume it's like a big national refuge.
It's a huge national wildlife preserve.
So the number of hippos and buffaloes are about 7,500 hippos and 47,000 buffaloes. And they are at their highest level ever, according to the park rangers. So them hippos been breeding like rabbits, I guess, huh?
Well, everything's protected there. No one's allowed to shoot or hunt there. So it's great. And
have you ever seen how a male hippo, spreads his,
yes. Yes.
Kissing. With a
multi flick of the tail.
Yes.
It's like a lawn spreader, you know, when you're doing fertilizer. It just goes all over the place. Spray it. Don't spray it.
Too much information.
All right.
That's funny as heck to watch.
By the way, for all of you climate people out there, you you know, global warming types who are out there crying because they're going to have to wax 350 hippos and buffaloes, park officials have described drought as a natural way of regulating wildlife populations.
Correct. It thins the herd, and only the strong survive. Yep. Hello? Yeah, exactly. You're talking about culling animals. What about here in the United States? They want to cull over 40,000 wild horses.
Horses, yeah, because they breed like rabbits, too.
Speaking of...
And they don't have very many natural predators.
Speaking of horses, did you hear Al Gore is going to be campaigning for Hillary Clinton?
Well, I like that idea. Well, because he is the other village idiot.
He's a horse's
tootie. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's a big proponent of climate change.
Of course.
That's where he made his money.
Hey, look, when you got to bring Al Gore out to save your butt, you're in bad shape.
She's
baby.
In really bad
Don't worry.
Shape.
Jimmy Carter's after that.
There you go. You got to bring them all out.
Who's left? She's gone through pretty much all the liberals.
The problem.
Now you're talking about her husband.
Oh, Jerry Brown. She forgot about him.
We got to take a break. We come back, we'll wrap up tonight's show. But don't forget, you still got 3 great hours of live radio. So don't go away. We'll be back with more of the American Adversaries. All right. That's right, folks. Blessing to teach you a lesson. Welcome back to the show. Don't forget, Wednesday, Dolly Kyle is going to be on the American Adversaries radio show. That's right. One of Bill Clinton's old flames.
I just sent you a picture
of
Dolly
with
Pence and his wife.
Yeah.
And one of the comments Dolly got was, do you have a shorter skirt than that?
Ooh, wait.
So we're going to have some fun on Wednesday.
Who was that made that comment?
One of her fans.
Okay. All right. Anyway, she'll be in the studio with us on Wednesday. That's going to be a lot of fun. And all right. So I got a couple other stories here, some sort of unusual stuff. You know how after the wall came down and the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. and we had the peace dividend and everything?
Right.
We sold off some missile silos. You remember that, where people could buy a missile silo?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you live in Hollywood, no, not Hollywood, California. No, not Hollywood, Florida. I'm talking about Hollywood, Alabama. Did you know there was such a thing?
I did not.
Well, if you live in Hollywood, Alabama, or would like to live in Hollywood, Alabama, you can have your very own unfinished nuclear power plant.
Whoopee!
That's right. The Tennessee Valley Authority has set a minimum bid of $36.4 million for its Belafonte nuclear power plant and the 1,600 surrounding acres of waterfront property on the Tennessee River.
So it's not completed?
Not yet.
It's not running.
Imagine.
Well, you'd never have to pay for lights again.
Why
but
doesn't
you would
Donald
glow?
Acquire that?
You'd glow.
He can have his own nuclear power plant. He has everything else.
How do you know he doesn't have one?
Initial bids are due Monday, tomorrow.
How much?
And well, minimum bid is $36.4 million.
Wow.
And at least one company has publicly expressed an interest in the site. That company, we don't know. Maybe it is the Trump Empire. Who knows? And the utility, the Tennessee Valley Authority, had planned to construct 4 reactors at the site, but demand for the power in the region never met expectations. Work there reportedly began in the mid-1970s and halted in 1988. And the nuclear energy industry says at least 30 nuclear power plants were sold in part or whole since 1999.
Interesting.
Yeah. So if you want one, you can have
we
one.
We don't want one of those. We want wind energy.
No, we don't. That's right.
We want fossil fuel.
Yeah, right. There you go. Speaking of fossils, did you know that, Well, George Soros put in some money down here to defeat Jeff Ashton.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's doing various things all around the country. And one guy that he's got on his wanted list is Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Yeah, I heard that.
Of Arizona. Yeah, that he's pumping a bunch of money in down there because the sheriff's up for re-election this term. So we shall see what happens with that. And do you like spending the plastic? Do you like the plastic?
I am not a plastic lover.
I'm not either. I like the good old cash money, but, you know, a lot of people, they don't even know what cash money is anymore. Certainly a lot of people that run cash registers.
Yeah, they give you the wrong change.
They don't know how to get change.
If I'm telling you, if the machine didn't tell them how much to give, they wouldn't know. But, you know, for those of you who are out there who have and like using plastic, the new cool thing in plastic is metal.
Yeah, is that the new ad that shows the titanium card and this girl is in this Rolls Royce buying these $3,000 shoes and she puts out her MasterCard and it's like titanium or something?
The demand in New York is overwhelming for this new card. Chase Bank has come out with the Chase Sapphire Reserve Card, and it is the hottest on the market after 2 weeks. Even though it carries a $450 annual fee, J.P. Morgan and Chase spent nothing on advertising because everybody wants one of these new cards.
Do you know I just got an invitation in the mail last week to apply the card. It's $450 a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Look at you.
But you get all kinds of points and bonuses.
Whoopie-doo.
Hey, now Chase offers a 100,000 point sign-up bonus if the customer meets certain spending targets.
Those
points can be worth up to $1,500 in travel rewards. The card also comes with a $300 annual credit toward travel, which effectively makes the annual fee now $150.
It sounds like a bargain to me.
you can have your bargain when you got to pay someone to give you a piece of plastic so you can spend money.
No. See, the thing about this is it's not plastic. The metal part of it is what people get excited about, according to Kayla Kanya, a 33-year-old manager accounting firm from Rockville, Maryland.
All right, so you can stick it on your fridge so you don't forget it.
I think I'm just going to get it, Aubrey, so I can tell you I have it, okay?
That's fine. You want to waste your money, go right ahead. Hey, you know what? I got offered the premium thing, which you get charged $15 a month, a maintenance fee, if you don't keep a minimum of $15,000 in that account.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want that. I just want a regular account where if I don't maintain $500, you charge me a $10
management fee. Why don't you just get the senior account, Aubrey?
All right.
Then I'll be senior.
All right, we're just about out of time here. We don't need to go any more deep into that. You know, a lot of police forces are going to body cameras.
Yes.
A lot of police forces are going away from body cameras. The more police forces use them, the more they find that they don't solve all the problems they're supposed to, and they create a lot of extra expense.
Additional problems.
Because you have to store everything that is recorded. Everything that the camera sees must be recorded, and whatever is recorded must be saved for public consumption. All right, so every panacea has its thorns, right? All right, Roger, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Christ. we were able to climb out of our baskets and be at the 2016 Decision Tour Monday. That was great to meet you and the rest of our fellow Christians coming up on this Christmas season. Just keep up the good work, and let's get Trump elected. That'll be a wonderful Christmas present for the whole country.
Absolutely, Roger. Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you there as well. I thank you for coming out.
And to plug the tomorrow night, if anybody that wasn't able to go Monday, last past Monday, if they can listen tomorrow night, there'll be a lot of enlightenment and a hoot.
That's right. All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Roger. I appreciate that. What he's talking about, if you didn't hear me mention it earlier, tomorrow night after our show at 7 o'clock, our regular show from 5 to 7, then at 7 o'clock, the station is going to play the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Roundtable discussion. So if you were there and you want to hear it again, you'll be able to do so tomorrow at 7. And if you weren't there and weren't able to hear it, you'll be able to do so tomorrow at 7. And as he said, it's enlightening and it's a hoot. So please do tune in for that. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate you being out there.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, I wish we could do that again.
Oh, me too.
4 years' time.
I could do that every week.
I wish we could be on the bus and go to each city.
Yeah, that bus.
Wouldn't that be a blast?
That was a cool bus they had. But the private jet, that's probably the best part, right? All right. So once again, tomorrow at 7, don't forget Wednesday, Dolly Kyle in studio with us. And I'll have to make sure she sits on my side of the table. She's wearing one of those little skirts, right?
I'll be watching you, Chris.
All right. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Don't forget, stick around. Armed American Radio with Mark Walters is coming up next. We're going to leave you with a tune by Lloyd Marcus. And he was at the Decision 2016 event, too, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, he was.
And it's called Next Level. And I'm playing this just because let's take this to the next level. Let's take the selection to the next level. We started out the show with the theme tonight. We're going to end it with, look, as long as we're playing to win, why not play to win big?
Amen.
Right? As long as we're in this thing, let's plan on winning as big as we can. Not just squeak by, not just get barely enough. Let's plan on taking this thing and jamming it down their throats.
Amen.
All right. So let's, once again, stick around. A lot more live radio coming up. And we're going to leave you with Next Level by Lloyd Marcus from his great CD, God, Country, and Love. And you can find it at his website, LloydMarcus.com. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. So,
night everyone.
Good night.
Woke up this morning, what did I see? Big old sun grinning back at me. An eagle was flying in a sky so blue. It gave me directions, then I came back for you. Come on now. Let's take it to the next level. That's where I wanna be. Let's take it to the next level, baby. Up where the air is free. There's a new day dawning and it's right at hand. Beckoning to the brotherhood of man. We're all sisters and brothers in one family. So let's get it together. Come on now, let's take it to the next level. That's where I wanna be. Let's take it to the next level, baby. Up where the air is free. Up there, there's no hatred. Up there, there's no pain. We don't even have to worry about rain. Up there, you can do whatever you dream, as long as you keep it positive and clean. Come on now, let's take it to the next level.